to see everyone here. You've joined us at the first of the year, really, from the sermon series perspective. We're starting our first series of the new year, kind of like we did last year, with an emphasis to look at membership, what it means to be a member of a local church like CFC. Last year, you'll remember that we did a series called The Bride. Remember The Bride? We talked about what it looked like for us to function as the bride of Christ in the world. And then we made a call to membership. Some of you may not be aware, if you're new here, or maybe you're a guest here today thinking, what would it be like to be a member of this church? CFC does things a little bit differently, perhaps, than the membership that you knew or grew up with. I grew up in the context of a church that once you joined the church, your name was on the roll. I mean, and it was on the roll forever. And you could turn into the headquarters that you had a church of 1,500 people and only 35 folks showed up, you know. A lot of them were out in the cemetery, but they were still on the roll. And I guess because they were on the grounds of the church, we counted them, all right? And that just kind of was the way it was. But at CFC, we really want to be more deliberate and take more time to evaluate each year the importance of what it means for you and for me to be the part of a local body of Christ. And so at the end of this series, we'll kind of do like we did with The Bride. We'll pass out the documentation again and allow you the opportunity to pray over the fact that this is where you want to be. This is the part, this is the body, this is your church home where you want to align as a believer. You live in a world where the culture is constantly telling you, you don't have to be a member of the church, you don't have to be a member of the church. And even though, obviously, that isn't a part of being saved by placing your faith in Christ alone for your salvation, it means that you think that as a part of the body of Christ, you can function out in the world without a community of faith. And the way we want to look at this series, in this series we've titled Fitness, is to help us explore what it means for us to be a unity, to be a local body of Christ, and to be a member like a hand is part of your physical body. I don't have to tell you that I can't cut my hand off and it will live. If it is divorced from my body, it ceases to live, right? So for you to be a fit Christian, for you to be a fit follower of Jesus Christ, obviously, to experience fitness in the overall body of Christ, you need to be a member of a local community of faith, whether that's here or someone else. We would certainly love for you to join us. So in light of that this morning, just want to celebrate some family business with you this morning. We closed the year, our church closed the year out with a balanced budget, with great oversight and stewardship of the resources that you as a part of your giving shared with us. And I want to thank you and applaud you for giving faithfully to this church. We balanced the budget. There is no debt in this church. You don't ever have to wonder how much that church owes. Who have they borrowed from? Listen, we don't borrow from anybody. You have provided, God's resources through you have provided for us to have a balanced budget again this year, and we celebrate and applaud that. I want to thank you also, just if you get a chance to see Mike Deeg or Andy Hansen. Mike Deeg is our executive pastor. Andy Hansen is our administrator, and these two men are charged specifically from the elders to give oversight and stewardship to our budget, making sure that this great staff that we have here kind of walks in line to the boundaries of the resources that God has provided for us. And I want to thank Mike and Andy for providing that kind of leadership. I also want to thank them for getting out here before the crack of dawn this morning and trying to get this parking lot taken care of in Mosa. So would you join me this morning in just thanking them? And then I just want to give you up to date. You know, every year we take a Thanksgiving offering that is strategically placed in our community, and we take a Christmas Eve offering that is strategically placed globally with some initiative. This year, our Thanksgiving offering, once again, we gave money for the purpose of stocking local food pantries. We have the ability to buy canned goods and non-perishables at a wholesale price, and through this Thanksgiving offering, we unload those trucks and just deliver them as a body. We take trailers and trucks and we deliver this food throughout the community and local food pantries, sometimes stocking them to the brim. You gave over $60,000 to stock the food pantries here in the Evansville area, and we want to celebrate that and be so thankful for it. And then at Christmas Eve, our initiative this year was to give Bibles globally, to put copies of the Word of God in the hands of people who, in their own language, to be able to read the Word of God. I'm really excited this year because part of that strategic initiative will go to placing Bibles into the hands of Syrian refugees that are locked down in Turkey. These Syrian refugees, some of them Christian, but some of them not, are crying out for the Word of God, copies of the Bible in their own language. And through our strategic partners there, part of what we did on Christmas Eve will go toward placing those Bibles there and other places around the world. And we raised over $50,000 on Christmas Eve to put that out there in the hands of the folks. So thank you, Lord, for doing that. That's exciting. I say all this to say, folks, again, we don't talk about this a lot because this is God's business. This is what God does through us, and we give Him the praise and glory for it all. This is not something we throw our chest out and say, you know, look at us, look at our abs here, look at our guns here for what we've done. No, in the body of Christ, this is the way we function here faithfully. God is the source of those resources, and we as a leadership, as well as a congregation, want to be good stewards over everything that God has given us. And that leads us to this study. That leads us to begin talking about what it means for us to experience a fitness in the body of Christ. What does it mean to have fitness in a physical body, and how does it relate over to what it means to have fitness in a church body? Again, Paul, in 1 Corinthians, where we're going to take most of our text, it says it's not that different at all. It's the same, very much the same. But we begin really with a parable that Jesus taught. If you've got your Bibles and you want to look at it, we're gonna look at that resource here in a moment. In Matthew chapter 25, it's on page 823 of your pew Bible or your armrest Bible. We don't have pews, we have armrests. And under there, you've got a copy of the Scriptures. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 25 there, I'm going to refer to some verses there, but you'll know that parable. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like a master who went away for a long trip. And if you're like me, I'm like, okay, Jesus, if that's you, you've been away long enough. We're ready for you to come back. But I want to be very careful as I say that because am I ready? Am I really looking for him to come back? And will I be prepared for him to receive me when he returns? Because he's left me with resources. He's left you with certain resources. How faithful have I been in stewarding those resources? And so he says, this master went away for a long trip. He calls his servants, three of them, together, and he says, listen, I'm going to give you some money to invest. And in Matthew 25, he says, to one he gave five talents of money, or five portions of this cash, and he says, go invest it. And so he does. He gives another two, and to another he gives one. And when he returns, what happens? He sees the first one. He says, listen, I gave you five. What have you got to show for it? He says, master, I invested your money, and I've made five more. Well done, good and faithful servant. The master says, let's have a party. Let's celebrate together. He goes to the second one. He says, listen, I gave you two jars of money. What have you done with that? He says, I invested it. I've made two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate this. And to the one that he gave one to, you can almost see, like, he knows these people. He knows who he can trust with his money, right? To whom the one he gave one jar to, he says, listen, I know you're a hard man. And I'm scared of you. I didn't do anything. I wasn't about to risk your money. So I buried it in the backyard, and I've dug it up, and here it is. And the master says, you wicked, lazy servant. Why weren't you willing to risk using what I gave you? And so he says, if you've got your Bibles there, he says in verse 28, or verse 27, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Verse 28 says, then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The point of this parable is that Jesus wants us to understand that as his body, he's entrusted us with certain resources, and if we don't use those resources, we'll lose those resources. And it's just like our physical bodies. I don't know how long it took you to figure it out, but I remember the lesson that I learned when I was a kid. My best friend broke his arm. And back in those days, you had this plaster cast that you had to wear, and they locked it down in this direction. Usually they put it in a sling, and you had to be in that thing for 6 to 8 weeks, and it stunk. It would begin to stink, and he'd bring a coat hanger to class. If he itched, he stuck his coat hanger down in his cast and had to itch. You remember those days? I don't know if they do that anymore, but that's the way it used to be. And I remember when he came back to class the first day after they had cut that thing off, he looked deformed. His muscles had just completely, deteriorated, it looked like. His arm was half the size of his other arm. And he began to talk about, the doctor says he calls that atrophy. If you don't use your muscles, they kind of shrink. And it scared us all to death. It's like, okay, we better keep using our muscles. And that's the reality of the lesson, that in our physical bodies, to stay fit, we've got to use our muscles or we'll lose our muscles. And so the Apostle Paul wants to remind the Corinthian church, this church that we're going to study and hopefully learn some lessons from, that if we don't exercise the individual, if you and I don't exercise the individual resources and gifts that God has given us within the context of the body will suffer. So we exercise the individual to benefit the whole. That's the purpose of exercise. That's the purpose of using your gifts for the benefit of the entire body. The Corinthians are having trouble in their church with selfishness. I know that doesn't happen around here, but that's what's going on in Corinth, right? That's what's going on in their church. And they've descended to such a level with selfishness that even though it's something that's not consistent at all with the body of Christ, they are even making a mockery in their selfishness, through their selfishness. They're making a mockery of the ceremonial remembrance of the Lord's Supper. And so Paul says, you're not discerning the body of the Lord. And when you read that passage in chapter 11, this chapter previous to 12, when you read that passage, you're like, well, he's talking about the body of Christ. Yeah, the body of Christ physically that was broken and bled for our salvation. Absolutely, Paul's talking about that. But to take it in an unworthy manner, you Corinthians need to understand that you're not discerning the body of Christ. It's a duality. It's a play on words. Paul is saying that you're looking to the shed blood and the bodily sacrifice of our Savior who died on the cross for our sins. But you're making a mockery about that because of how selfish you're being with the body of Christ, which is the church. You're not discerning the body of which you are a part, of which you are a member. Because some of you are coming together, and those of you who have means, man, you're partying. You're eating in front of people and taking advantage of your resources and using them just on yourself. Some of you are even getting plastered. You're getting wasted in celebration. And it's right here before the Lord's Supper meal. While other people come in here, they've got nothing. They've got to sit there and watch you party. Or they've got to be in the community where you gather for a love feast before you come to church. You use your resources only for yourselves while other people in the body of Christ have nothing. And Paul says, you were doing this in the name of Jesus and yet not discerning the body of which he has you a part. And so Paul comes to the Corinthians in a letter and he writes to them about this selfishness. And he talks to them around two key verses in chapter 12. In verse 12, Paul says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the one whole body. So it is, Paul says, with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. We're from Kentucky. Some of us are Gentiles. We're from Indiana or Illinois. Some of us are slaves. Some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. I don't know about you, but in my immaturity, I would walk away from churches sometimes, and I'd go, there's nobody in there that's like me, you know, as if that would be a great trait for you to possess. There's nobody in there like me. I'm a foot. I'm looking for where the feet hang out, right? I'm a hand. I want to join the other hands. Where are the hands worshiping today? And particularly, I'm a right hand. Don't put me next to some of those left-handers in there. I don't want any of those folks there. And I particularly prefer long, polished nails on my right hand. I don't want to be among those nail biters, right? Keep me away from those folks. We have allowed such a consumerism into our church that we have made even the minutia, not out of the body part, but the accessories that go on the body part. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for sameness. And Paul says, you need to understand that the body of Christ is purposed for diversity. It's purposed for variety. Because as your hands and your feet serve a different function and a different person, neither the hand nor the foot can look at each other and say, I don't have any need of you. We are the body of Christ. And that's that diversity, that variety is worthy of not just our tolerance, but our celebration. Will you let that sink in just a little bit this morning? I've been a part of a lot of churches, and I will tell you that CFC is the most diverse church I've ever been a part of in my life. And I'm thankful for that. But we've got room to improve. How awesome would it be for us to be able to find the differences in each other and not try to isolate ourselves from them, but celebrate them? My 8-year-old has gone into that boy childhood rite of passage called professional wrestling. I don't know where he's getting all his information, but he's got facts and moves. Used to be, I long for the days I would tuck him in and read him a story. Now I've got to experience his new signature move every night. And the other night, he hurt me. The other night, we were in bed, and he threw his arm around me, and he caught me right on the arm. And I was so thankful that I had a hand on my left side to be able to go over there and rub on the sore spot. I didn't need my shoulder to say to my left hand at that moment, we have no need of you. I'm like, no, thank God for the left hand, because my right arm is now numb. That's the body of Christ. That's how it functions, in that kind of simplicity. I love taking off from Evansville, Indiana airport when we're going east to west. The engine's roaring, the flaps are down, the wheels are coming up, and just about the time the pilot retracts the landing gear, I look down if I'm on the right side of the plane, and there's CFC. And you can see it as you're flying out of here, taking off to the east. As you look down and you see it, you know, the person that has the misfortune to sitting next to me, I always, you know, elbow them and say, that's my church. There's where I go to church, right there. There's where I go to church. And then, isn't it awesome? Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. But coming back into Evansville, it's always a challenge, right? Because you never really know how Indy Center is going to align you for your final approach. Depending on, you know, the wind or whatever, they take you over Kentucky. And they bring you through Union County and Henderson County up the Ohio River that way. I always thought it was because I was on the plane. And you're coming up the Ohio River, and you're like, okay, you're getting your bearings, you're seeing things around, and they always seem to fly you right over the Wright's Bowl as if they want to make everybody a Panther fan in this town, and they fly everybody over the Wright's Bowl, and you look down, and you see, you know, Barry Plastics and Old National Bank and Fifth Third Bank, all these buildings around here. You got the hospitals, and you make out the landmarks, and you see these little cars rolling around, and you see people walking in and out, and it's just busy, and you know, sometimes you see the shoe carnival, you know. Some of you that have grown up here, man, you see things and recognize things that I never would. And you go, I know where that is. I know where it is. But as we're going for the landing, I'm like, drat, you know, I didn't see the church. And then it hit me. This isn't the church at all. This is the place where the church gets to gather for 1 hour a week. And God reminded me that all those little people walking around down there that look like ants and running around in those cars, going in and out of their business, going on about their day, whether they're in school or whether they're at work, that's the church. I always see the church right below me. Maybe even have flown over a few CFCers there. That's where you are, in those businesses and in those schools. If you come here for 1 hour a week, and you separate what God is calling you to do in here from what you're doing out there, you've missed the point. And you're not experiencing the fitness that God has called you to experience as He's united us into this body. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." What he's saying there is that I've heard you've got this question. I can't come visit you right now, so I'm going to write you a letter that will perhaps help you with this. You've got a question. What about these special abilities? What about these spiritual gifts that the Spirit gives us to do? Paul says, I don't want you to be an agnostic. That's the word, agnostic. Agnosis, not to know. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along and worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Charismata, it's called, or where we get the word charismatic. Some of you have heard the charismatic movement. All that means is, from that word charis, grace. It's a grace-filled gift. It's a spiritual gift from God. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts that we all share, but it's the same Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Notice that. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Paul says, you got to understand, you're a member of a body, and that body functions from the source of a Godhead that dwells in unity, not sameness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are plural, yes, but in their essence, they are one. And you function in this body. As a member of Christian Fellowship Church, you will function in this body, not the same, with great variety, with great diversity, but sourced in unity, sourced in the same God. We don't possess these gifts to go out here like some lone ranger and show off what we can do. We have it to honor God in this body. If you're someone who God calls to go overseas and serve as a global missionary, you go as the extension of a body locally. You don't go out there. You can't function out there on your own. You go as an extension of the church, of which you are a member, my friends. And we do the same thing. It doesn't have to be globally. It can be very much locally. I call you. I charge you. I challenge you as a member of a church, whether it's here or whether it's someone else, that when you walk in your business, when you walk in your school, you are representing the same Lord that you came in here today to worship and pray to. It's just an hour on Sunday where we get together and remind each other. We're not alone, and we're not by ourselves. And though I'm so different from you, and though you're so different from me, we seek the same Lord. And God puts us in this family. And it's not unlike, to some degree, your own family. I understand that. Sometimes you put up with each other. Sometimes you tolerate each other. But when the chips are down and you want to celebrate, there's nobody else I'd rather have around the table. Paul says, I understand that. And as that family, so the imagery is for this family. As that body, so is the imagery for this body. And you can't be spiritually fit without the overarching fitness of a community of faith. I'm fascinated by just, you know, always, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, particularly in the 80s. I wish you could have been in the 80s, those of you that didn't live through the 80s. That's when the fitness movement really started, and it was hilarious. Talk to your grandmothers about leg warmers and hair bands and trying to wear makeup at the aerobics classes. Talk to people who experienced the early 80s. They'll tell you how ridiculous they tried to work fashion with form and function. It was hysterical, right? But a lot of that hasn't left. I mean, we worship that. We long to be distinct from that. We long to look fit and have a certain aspect of our fitness that's worth applause. And as the body of Christ, nobody runs out of here and goes, check out my abs. Nobody runs out of here as the body of Christ and goes, check out these guns for our own glory and self-aggrandizement. Paul says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And then he tells the Corinthians, listen, this is what I know. I know this is going on in your fellowship. To the one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Praise God. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another person. And then to someone else, the Spirit might give the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God and from another and from an, or from another spirit. Still another person is given the gift or the ability to speak in unknown languages while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. And what we've done in America is that we look at that list and go, okay, you know, was that just for Corinth, or is that for today, or you know, what about, I don't feel like I've got any of those, and if I don't have any of those, can I even be a Christian, and where am I find myself on the list? And we look at the complexity of that list, or we look at the sophistication of all that, and we go, well, where do I fit in that? Because if I'm a believer, I've obviously got to be gifted in that way. And we treat it as if Paul is making this something exhaustive. Later on in the passage, he talks about the gift of administration. In other places, he talks about the gift of maybe preaching or teaching. We know in the Bible talks about passions and gifts that are given to people musically, or people that have been times touched by God with the gift of engineering for building. So this gets so overwhelming for some of us that we either do two things. We're paralyzed by it because we don't feel like we have any of these, or we become judgmental because we want to have what looks like the most sophisticated, the most fancy. That's what the Corinthians were doing. The Corinthians were saying, listen, this is the gift that looks, you know, most fashionable right now. That's the one we want to wear. That's the one that we want to aspire to. Paul says, you're missing the point. And if that's you this morning, if you're paralyzed because you can't even read this passage without feeling overwhelmed with dejection, Paul says, here's the point. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. You don't have to make this so hard. What you have can be as simple as my left hand rubbing against a sore arm. Who are you rubbing up against? Who is God using you with a word or a deed or an activity inside this fellowship or around it, to where you're being faithful to the very little even that God has given you? That's what it's about. It's just about helping each other. The only way we can be fit as a body of Christ is finding where you fit in it and serving one another in light of it. It doesn't have to be so complex. It's the Corinthian in us that makes it complicated. It's the Corinthian in us that try to drive it down into some analysis that is completely divorced from anything we could possibly potentially be doing today. Jesus says, no. Where are you living? And how are you working? How are you functioning? That's what fitness is all about in the body of Christ. I love it. that some of you are touched by specific instances in your life where you can be generous. One of the reasons I want to apply those things at the very beginning is it takes us and it looks at what we can do as a body with the very little that we have, and we pool it together and combine it, and we serve a function as a body. This isn't check out my abs. This isn't look at our guns. This is like, look at what God can do with us as the body of Christ. Even something so small, something so little, something so insignificant, right? We don't have to be the biggest city in Indiana to do something about poverty, to do something about homelessness, to do something about kids growing up without mothers and fathers. We don't have to be the biggest and the sexiest. We don't have to do that. We just have to serve. We have to recognize there's just a part of the body that's sore. Take the hand and rub where it's sore. I challenge you to find your place where you fit in that, ever so simply, so that we might experience the whole, where we might experience the fitness together. Eugene Peterson says that no gift, no virtue can develop and remain healthy apart from the community of faith. Where are you going to be a member this year? I'd love for you to think about being a member here. But where is God calling you to align with His body for where you can fit? And where the little that each of us do can support an overall fitness. Paul bookends this list of gifts with the point. He's like, in the midst of this list, don't forget the point. In 4, 5, and 6, he says it this way: there are different kinds of spirits, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we're the same. We serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who works in all of us. And then he gives that list of gifts that the Corinthians are enjoying and celebrating, and he says, don't forget. He goes back to what he said in those prior verses. Verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and He alone decides which gift each person should have. Don't make this too hard. If you find a church where everybody revels in your footness, don't go there. Go somewhere where you can be the hand, or you can be the arm, or where you could be the shoulder muscle that God has gifted you to be. When you come in this place, don't breathe a sigh of relief because you feel the security of being around people who are just like you. Come into this place thanking God that He has brought us together from all walks of life and gifted us to serve one another and to serve the world with the vision that God has given this church to glorify Him by making disciples of all people. Isn't that amazing? The church thrives in unity, not in sameness. We are unified as a collection of muscles in the body of Christ. It's an orchestra of various instruments playing a symphony. Every muscle, every instrument does its part to love God and love people, and it takes practice. It takes exercise. Because if you don't use it, we'll lose it.